I'm speaking from one of the offices in Srila Prabhupada's complex of the Radha Rasbihari Temple in Bombay. You probably know how Srila Prabhupada went through much struggle to establish this temple. It was not actually opened. The deities were not installed. The temple was not completed until shortly after Srila Prabhupada's disappearance. All the details of the struggle are not given in the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita because, as you can imagine, when this kind of affair, not all the details, we don't want all the public to know about all the details. I also don't know all the details, but I've just heard there are various things which are not publishable. Srila Prabhupada went through so much struggle. We can't imagine how much struggle Srila Prabhupada went through to establish this Krishna conscious movement all over the world. We can read about it and discuss it. We can read about it and discuss it, how Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to preach. First of all, the whole trauma of his spiritual master's movement becoming divided into bitter quarreling factions, and then Srila Prabhupada trying to cooperate with various of his godbrothers to preach. At the same time, no support, rather the opposite, from his family, and not much real understanding even from his godbrothers, not from anyone. He was going out into Delhi and making his magazine, no Bhakti Godhead. No one showed much interest. Srila Prabhupada came to the West practically twisting the arm of Sumati Moraji to give him a ticket. She didn't want him to go. No one wanted him to go. But he went, and even when he came to the West, there was so many difficulties he had to go through. Oh, even on the way, a heart attack. It's just one thing after another. He had to put his bhoga, the ingredients for cooking, into a fridge where meat was kept, and live with people who are smoking. For a pure devotee from the spiritual world to have to live in these conditions, it's unimaginable. Then he was living in the Bowery, which no respectable in New York, the worst area of New York, which respectable people, they didn't even go near, let alone live there. And the person he was living with went crazy. All the details are not given, but Prabhupada he suddenly had to leave that place, and he couldn't go back. He was the David Allen, the name is given there, he'd become crazy, and Prabhupada thought that he might physically attack him. So he went through so much struggle. He started this movement. And again, all the details aren't put in the Lilamrita, but actually some of his disciples, they turned against him. They made a misapplication of the philosophy that Prabhupada is directly Krishna, totally Mayavad. Srila Prabhupada went through so much struggle to establish this movement. And the struggle isn't over. It's always going to be there. In this material world, there's always struggle. Especially if one wants to preach Krishna consciousness in Kali Yuga, we'll find that there's a verse, Srila Prabhupada, two verses Prabhupada used to quote from Tulsidas, that, Sach bole tomare lati, jhut jagate mohai. If you speak the truth, people will come and beat you with sticks. But if you talk all nonsense, then everyone's very appreciative. Very good, very nice. if we tell everyone, you are all God, or you're all, even among devotees, oh, you're all very advanced, you're a Mahabhagavat, everyone will be very happy. But if we tell someone, you're in Maya, well, we may be in Maya also, but we like to be praised. People like a so-called guru who will say, yes, you are God, we are all God, we are all divine. Well, we're all divine, that's true, but we're in Maya. Prabhupada spoke the truth very clearly. When, in the very early days of preaching in New York in 1966, one local rock group came to listen. They were celebrities in the area, and they were famous for their vulgarity in sexual matters. They would sing very profane songs. Profane means rude, vulgar, sexually explicit. Prabhupada, on that evening, spoke about how sex is the binding force, sex desire is the binding force in material life, and how illicit sex is sinful. Now, that's not going to be very popular among the hippies, who they were promoting what they called free sex. But Srila Prabhupada said it anyway. He didn't compromise the message of the absolute truth. He spoke the truth clearly, that we are all servants of Krishna. We are meant to serve him. He gave the four regulative principles. He didn't insist on them in the beginning, but gradually he introduced. But he never compromised on this. Disciple means you have to follow. You have to chant the holy names. All these things should be followed. So Srila Prabhupada, undoubtedly the greatest devotee of the modern age, Kali Kale Dharma Krishna Nama Sankirtan Krishna Shakti Bina Nahi Tar Pravartan, as stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that in this Kali Yuga, the Yuga Dharma, the religious process for this age, is Krishna Nama Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy names of Krishna. And one who is empowered with the specific energy of Krishna, is he can, such a person can establish that. We can imagine how difficult it is to establish this very pure message and mission among people in the modern age who are dedicated to breaking all the regulative principles. Modern society, as Srila Prabhupada noted in one purport, is dedicated to meat-eating, gambling, illicit sex, and intoxication. So how difficult it is to establish Krishna consciousness, where if one is to seriously practice Krishna consciousness, then he has to give up all these things. We can imagine how difficult it is to spread Krishna consciousness in this age. But Srila Prabhupada was able to do that. And we can understand that he was specifically blessed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, it would not be possible for him to do so. Now, at the same time, while Srila Prabhupada was giving us these highest truths, while he was introducing us to the process that would take us, most of, when I say us, I mean most of his followers came at least superficially from a very sinful background of all these sinful activities. And Srila Prabhupada introduced us to the process, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's process, by which we can eventually come to the level of serving Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari. Eventually means that Srila Prabhupada, he didn't immediately introduce worship of Radha Krishna, but gradually he established many temples of Radha Krishna all over the world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Krishna, and he came to introduce us to the worship of Radha and Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada gave us the process by which we could eventually come to the level of which Prabhupada said, we can see Krishna face to face. We can live with Him, eat with Him, dance with Him, talk with Him. As one godbrother told me many years ago, this was shortly after I joined the movement, over 30 years ago, he told me that Srila Prabhupada had said that my only desire is to go to Golok Vrindavan and steal Krishna's lunchbox. That's one of the pranks that Krishna's cowherd boyfriends play upon him, that they may steal his lunchbox. Such an intimate relationship with the Supreme Lord. It's such an intimate relationship that we don't even think of him as the Supreme Lord. That knowledge of his opulent position, of his all-powerful position, is forgotten. So Srila Prabhupada introduced us to this. Of course, the worship of Radha Ras Bihari, who are situated in their superbly beautiful and extremely popular temple. Every day thousands of people visit, and on Janmashtami throughout the day, more than 1 million people visit this temple. It's become very famous or very popular. So the worship here, even though the worship is of Radha Ras Bihari with Lalita and Vishakha, and on one side of them are Sri Sri Gaur Nittai and also the deities of Srila Prabhupada and his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And on the other side of them is the altar of Sri Sitaram, Lakshman and Hanuman. So the worship is conducted in a mood of awe and reverence. We don't, when we put the offering on the altar, we don't rush up to it and steal it and think, now I'm stealing Krishna's food. That is for those devotees who are actually on that level. To approach that level, Srila Prabhupada, the practical acharya, he introduced us to the practical process given by Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, as dictated to him by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the process of following the rules and regulations of devotional service by which we may become purified and we may become gradually situated in Krishna consciousness. At the moment we are in Maya consciousness. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would speak of Golok Darshan and Jagat Darshan. Golok Darshan, in Golok Vrindavan, in the spiritual world, the pure devotees there, they see Krishna, they see the land, they see the trees, they hear the flute of Krishna. Everything in their consciousness is saturated with love of Krishna, and everything they see, touch, taste, feel, hear and smell, all these sensual impressions they receive, they simply think, how to serve Krishna better. They see the whole spiritual world and themselves also simply as being meant for serving Krishna, as paraphernalia for Krishna. Whereas Jagat Darshan, that as described by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, that means the attitude of Ishvaraham Aham Bhogi. I am God. I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. So we see everything. We see all the paraphernalia in this world as something, let me enjoy it. This is meant for my enjoyment. So, as long as we have that consciousness, we will not see Krishna face to face. Or even if we do see Krishna face to face, then our seeing will be at least tinged with the envy of Krishna that comes when we are in the mood of being a separate enjoyer to Krishna. Just like from Mahabharata, we understand that Duryodhana, he also saw Krishna face to face. But when he saw Krishna face to face, he did not see that this is the Lord to be served, but he thought, here is my enemy. So his seeing was not that seeing of Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena, not seeing with the eye of love, but seeing with the eye of envy, by which Duryodhana actually, although Krishna was personally present, his Sachidananda form, but Duryodhana did not see Sachidananda because he had no faith that there is even such a position of Sachidanandamai. So he perceived Krishna as being just another material form like himself. Materialistic people, when they see the deity, they see stone or metal or wood. But pure devotees, they see that Pratima Naha Tumi, Sakshat Vrajendranandan, as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, one great devotee, he told the deity of Gopal that you are not a statue, you are directly the son of Maharaj Nanda, you are Krishna. So, our vision, when we talk of vision, that means how do we see? What? It's not so much what do we see, but how do we see? People ask, have you seen God? Well, yes, we all see God at every moment, but because we don't recognize him, we don't want to see him, therefore we don't see him. But those who want to see Krishna, those whose hearts are yearning for Krishna, they will certainly see Krishna, even when he's not present. Krishna, he leaves Vrindavan, but actually, in another sense, he cannot leave because the residents of Vrindavan, they cannot see anything but Krishna. So he is captured within their hearts. This very highest level of God consciousness, Srila Prabhupada came to introduce us to. But by the practical, we can say, down-to-earth method, that means, on the one hand, we are heading for the very, very highest achievement to achieve pure love of Krishna that is even beyond the imagination of the residents of Vaikuntha. What to speak of the yogis who control their senses by very difficult austerities. So it's very, very high level, beyond karma and jnana and beyond even what is normally conceived of as bhakti. But then on the other hand, we have to see what is our actual level, that are we controlling the mind and the senses? Are we focusing on Krishna? So in almost all cases, the answer will be that we are still very much attracted to the objects of the senses. We still have many desires for our own personal comfort, and what to speak of thoughts of prestige, how will people perceive me? So to get free from all material desires is not a very easy thing, but the process of bhakti yoga given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Rupa Goswami, which we have received in Parampara through Srila Prabhupada, that process of Vaidhi Bhakti Sadhana, following the rules and regulations, that will help to, not help, it is a very powerful process to purify our consciousness, by which we can cease to think of how I cease to maintain the misconception of perceiving ourselves as the center of everything, selfish interest, but instead coming to the realistic position of understanding that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. So Srila Prabhupada sitting in this Radha Rasbihari temple, which at that time was before this beautiful marble temple was finished, that temple was the deities were being worshipped in, sorry to say it now, but due to circumstance for some years they were worshipped simply in a tin-roofed shed. So Srila Prabhupada, he went on with his activities of serving Krishna in these circumstances. His disciples at that time also went through many, many difficulties to help establish what is now a superb facility for serving Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada sitting here worshipping Radha Raspihari, the very name is indicative of the highest rasa. Well, how shall we translate that? It's not the highest exchange and pleasurable emotions between Radha and Krishna and Lalita and Vishakha and all the great devotees. So that very highest level, Srila Prabhupada would also sit and before his classes, he would sit being completely absorbed in chanting Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Vallabha Giri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Brajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari. This very favorite kirtan of Srila Prabhupada's, he would sing this almost invariably before class. Then sitting here, he would speak again and again on Bhagavad Gita as it is. And here in Bombay, he gave a long series of lectures on the Sankhya philosophy expounded by Kapila Dev, as found in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can say that Srila Prabhupada was speaking on very basic topics. There's no doubt that he himself was absorbed in the highest mellows of pure loving devotion to Krishna, far beyond our imagination. But at the same time, Srila Prabhupada very kindly and very patiently and very practically and realistically administered to us the philosophy of Krishna consciousness at a level that we needed to absorb it at. That, again, in London, that same Godbrother who I told the... He told me the anecdote about Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada wanting to steal Krishna's lunchbox. So another thing he told me was, I joined in 1975 in London, and if you look through the series of Srila Prabhupada's collected lectures, you'll find that in 1973 in London, Srila Prabhupada gave a series of lectures on the Bhagavad Gita from the second chapter. And as you know, in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there are many verses at the beginning of Krishna's instruction in which Lord Krishna in various ways establishes the position of the soul and the difference between the soul and the body. So Srila Prabhupada was speaking daily on this topic, that we're not the body, discrimination between the soul and the body, understanding what is spirit and what is matter, which is actually very basic subject matter. We can say the ABCs of spiritual life, although it's much higher subject matter than anything taught in the schools and universities throughout the world, and much higher subject matter than even great famous brainy persons of the modern age like Professor Einstein, that's beyond their level of research. So it's from the ordinary material perspective, it's a very high subject matter. But from the understanding of spiritual life, it's the very beginning. So Srila Prabhupada was talking about this again and again, because generally he would, whatever verse was there, he would speak on that. So he's speaking on the subject, you're not the body. Every day he would be speaking, you're not the body, we're all spirit soul. And as my godbrother related to me, one devotee was bold enough to say to Srila Prabhupada, bold enough or foolish enough, or maybe he just didn't know the etiquette of how to deal with one's spiritual master, but he almost complained to Srila Prabhupada that, Srila Prabhupada, you're speaking on this topic every day that you're not this body. So, well, now we understand that. So could you speak about something else? And Srila Prabhupada said that He replied that, "You do not understand this. Therefore, I have to speak on this again and again and again." I personally had a similar experience that I had very little, what we could say, personal association with Srila Prabhupada, although, as Srila Prabhupada wrote in the dedication of his Srimad Bhagavatam to his own spiritual master, he wrote, "Dedicated to His Divine Grace Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Ashtotara Satasri Srimad Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, he lives forever by his divine instruction and the follower lives with him." So we can all have personal association with Srila Prabhupada by following his instruction, because in the spiritual realm there is no division of time and space. Of course, to come to that level of being beyond time and space, it's not such an easy thing, but it begins with following the instruction. As if we follow the instruction of Srila Prabhupada, then we're linked with him. If we follow the instruction of the acharyas, of Krishna, then that is bhakti yoga. The yoga means linking by the process of devotion, devotional service. So anyway, getting back to I was going to tell one anecdote, that I had very little personal, what we could call personal association with Srila Prabhupada. But in October 1977, which turned out to be just 1 month before, it was approximately 1 month before Srila Prabhupada departed this world. At that time, I was on a traveling party, traveling in a van in North India, distributing Srila Prabhupada's books in schools and colleges. So we went to visit Vrindavan to have darshan of Srila Prabhupada. And we arrived in the evening. And Srila Prabhupada, I didn't know at the time, but Srila Prabhupada, he hadn't eaten for many weeks. And then one devotee brought him some strawberries. So Srila Prabhupada was sat up. He didn't have enough strength to sit up by himself. Of course, pure devotee is always transcendental, but he enacts such pastimes to give his disciples the opportunity to serve him. So Srila Prabhupada was sitting up, and as is the custom before taking prasad, some prayers are said. So Srila Prabhupada, in a very weak and faint voice, which was nevertheless full of spiritual conviction, he started to speak, "Sharira Vidyajal, Jarendriya Tahekal." And then Srila Prabhupada started to preach to his disciples in attendance. Many leading disciples were there. And about how we have to control the senses, otherwise they lead us to hell. And I reflected on that here's Srila Prabhupada, after so many years of being with us, seemed like many years, I'd just come recently before that, and here he is in Vrindavan, and many of his leading disciples are here, and Srila Prabhupada is speaking on controlling the senses, controlling the tongue. So I was quite struck by that, because you might have thought that, well, Srila Prabhupada would tell different pastimes of Vrindavan. But Srila Prabhupada, for his own reasons, or we could say seeing the need to, he spoke on the necessity of controlling the senses by taking Krishna prasad. So these basic points, if they're in order, then everything will follow nicely. Taking Krishna prasadam, chanting the holy names very carefully, associating with devotees, understanding this a basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness. We're not the body. We're all pure by nature. We are part and parcel of Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is to be served. Krishnarthe akila cheshta. All activities should be all endeavors should be performed for the sake of Krishna. So understanding this basic philosophy and in our lives adopting the basic practices, this automatically propels us to the higher levels of Krishna consciousness, which Srila Prabhupada came to give us, but he did so in a manner just suitable for our level. He gave everything. Everything is there in his books. He wanted his disciples to read his books. Now you have Srila Prabhupada's books, some of them in Farsi. That is a great contribution. The devotees who are translating and publishing these books in Farsi, no doubt that Srila Prabhupada is very, very pleased with this endeavor. I spoke about some of the difficulties that Srila Prabhupada went through to establish the Krishna Consciousness Movement all over the world. There's no doubt that you must be all experiencing difficulties to practice Krishna Consciousness in that difficult situation. I've had some experience myself of preaching or carrying Srila Prabhupada's mission in difficult places, I was one of the pioneers in establishing Srila Prabhupada's movement in Bangladesh, which is a country in which there are many Gauriya Vaishnavas of various sorts, but the majority population subscribes to a religious process which is not very favorable to pure Krishna consciousness. So we went through various difficulties there. And in Burma, where then as now there's a military government. So I have some experience in difficult situations, but one thing's for sure, there's a lot of the more difficulty there is, the more mercy there is to be had. I also visit Russia. I've been visiting regularly there for the last so many years. I first went during the it must have been 1985, a very heavy communist rule at that time. It was very heavy. It was just before they loosened up. They became more heavy. So it was a very tense situation in Moscow. St. Petersburg, Leningrad at the time was less, but still tense, but very tense situation. But the devotees from that era, though, they say that actually Krishna consciousness, even though we knew less, we had less association, we couldn't practice freely, in so many ways it was difficult, but actually it was in many ways very, very, looking back, it was very blissful. And the devotees who came at that time, they were even though they had their own difficulties with following the principles, some of them, but it was a time of great dedication, and a lot of mercy was flowing. Where there's difficulty, the mercy flows, that's for sure. So definitely the mercy is flowing in the land of the Aryans, where that's part of Greater India, Mahabharata. There's great mercy being bestowed on that land that Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet have been in that land. And Srila Prabhupada, he wants that Krishna consciousness be spread in every town and village in pursuance of the order of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So it will come to pass. There will be many difficulties, no doubt. There are many difficulties. And even after the movement is established, it's not that because there's a beautiful temple here, wonderful facility, Radha Rasbihari temple, it doesn't mean that there are no problems. There are different kind of problems. Material world means problems. Of course, this is not the material world, this is Vaikuntha and beyond. But because we are within the material world, as Srila Prabhupada wrote, the first words I ever read in Prabhupada's books, from Krishna book, that Vrindavan is such a wonderful place, Krishna is the cynosure of all eyes, but the material world is so contaminated that even in Vrindavan there was disturbance from demons. So there are difficulties. Everyone suffers difficulties, but if we accept difficulties for the sake of serving Krishna, Krishna is very pleased, and there's a lot of mercy to be had in that. And shall I stop?